Thank you, Cody. Good song. Art, glad you gave that to him. The good thing is, there is no outskirts of heaven. All of those things that we enjoy, that he has made, I am convinced we will see those same things there in heaven, because he is perfect in every way, and those who want to live in the downtown of heaven can, and those that want to be out what he calls the outskirts of heaven to see all of God's beauty that he has made, that will be there for you and I as well. Might even have a horse or two just for Miss Connie. If you have your Bibles taken, open them up to the book of Hebrews. I thought for a moment BC was going to steal my message, but he didn't. As always, the good Lord takes care of all things. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The title of the message is Faith in Action. We often am convinced by some of the things that we see today in our world is that we, the Christians, over a period of time, have come to the idea, or have morphed into the idea by the effects of the world and so forth, that being as a Christian is something that we do. We accept Christ, we have it done, and that's all we have to do. Far be that from the truth. Faith, being a Christian, is an active obligation. It is an active profession. However, what word you want to put there, it is active. It is not sit in the pew and sit on the sideline and watch the world go by. That's never what he intended, nor is it the example that God himself gave us through his son, Jesus Christ. When you read the life of Christ and you take those gospels and each one that shows what he was, especially when he was in those 33 years from a very early age, he was constantly being active, telling about his Father. And if that is the right thing for him to do, how much more it is for you and I to do, to tell about not only the Father, but he himself as well, and the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times people don't want to, even pastors today, don't want to preach about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Ooh, that gets into that, you know, spiritual realm and the ooh-wee and the twilight zone. No, the Holy Spirit is as real as he can be. And thank God that he had the infinite wisdom to give us and grant us the Holy Spirit that lives within us the very moment that we accept Jesus Christ. So what is this thing, faith? We hear that a lot. We have in our church establishment, we say this is the basis of our faith. For some of you, that you have heard this before, but it's not just having a statement. It's not just being able to say, I have faith in Jesus Christ, or I have faith in God himself in the Trinity, but we must have action behind that. So how do we have that action? Some folks often say, well, you know, God didn't give me a ministry. I'm here in a support role, and I couldn't be the preacher. You don't have to be the preacher. God has specific talents he has given every one of us. He has given us a sphere of influence around certain people that nobody else has. You and I were created uniquely in what he desired for you and I to accomplish for the kingdom, for his glory. So if you will, look in Hebrews chapter 11, and I invite you to stand, the honor of reading God's word. In order to understand what is this faith or how we keep it in action, we have to understand faith from the very outset of what that is. So Hebrews chapter 11, and it was important enough for God to put into his word to be inspire the man to put this down on paper for all generations to come. And so we will read that this morning. Chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And then I want you to drop down, and he goes through listing about some of the patriarchs and how examples of faith in action. Drop down to verse 13. So when it's going to start out talking about the ones he just listed, he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out of, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. And that them includes me and you. You may be seated. So faith is this substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have a hope of going to heaven. Any of y'all seen it? Not a hand raised, huh? But we believe there is a heaven. I believe there is a hell as well. I haven't seen it, don't want to see it. The Bible depicts it enough. You know, I always have a pretty good imagination God granted me with, and, you know, from the time you're a little kid till you grow up, you have this imagination of a lot of things. When I read about the text of heaven, there's a point where my mind just kind of loses it. I can't imagine that much beauty. You know, when it talks about gates made of pearls, I've seen some big pearls, but I ain't ever seen one look like that, as the gates are described, being 12 foot tall. What an oyster. I don't want to catch that one. Okay? It's something. But I also read the description of hell, and I can fathom that. You say, well, how can you do that? Because he describes hell as a place that is void of God. That means total disaster. Kind of the way you and I lives were before we knew Him. Doesn't mean that when we know Him, everything is rosy and going to go right. Nope. But I have somebody I can go through those trials and tribulations with. Without Him, it was left to me. And that's a train wreck. Very simple. Because I cannot fathom, I cannot see the future. Heck, I can't tell you whether it's going to rain this afternoon or not. I don't care what the weatherman says, he lies all the time. My wife was a little upset with the weatherman yesterday. She was going to put some clothes out on the line to dry. And she did. Got up, did her washing, whatever thing early, put them out on the line because they said it wasn't going to rain till after lunch. Them clothes weren't out there 5-10 minutes, and guess what? Little over 3/4 of an inch. She said, I can't believe they lied to me. I'm telling you, the weatherman and the politician are cousins real close. They both continue to keep their job, right? All right. So faith is those things that we believe in, that we have an assurance within us that is there. We have to base that on the fact that it has a solid foundation, that whatever we believe in will happen. So you think about that for a minute. What in this world can you believe in that you're assured is going to happen? You can't be assured that you're going to have a job tomorrow. We've seen layoffs all through our lives in here, things that we never thought would happen. We've watched people store up money for retirement to suddenly have nothing. There is nothing. When you hear those commercials, this will be your everything that you need, right? And you order it, and you found it's everything you didn't need. It was a scam. Everything in our life is that way. There is not anything man-made that man has contributed to that we can be assured is going to last forever. See, there's a few of us in here that are old enough to remember when you used to buy a truck and you were assured it was going to last 10 years. Today, you can't promise that it's going to last a week when you take it off the car lot. Okay? It just happens. You know, I get tickled at these developers and all in the design in the electrical world. We want this to be designed to last 35, 40, 50 years, whatever their contract says. And I'm kind of like, really? You believe that? Yeah, I got some lakefront property in Arizona for you. Doesn't happen. We can say that and we can hope for that, but it's not real. There's only one thing that has endured all of the test of time, and that is the Word of God and God Himself. Notice what that very first verse said as it continued. It says here that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained good testimony. By faith we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which are visible. What does that boil down and say to? God spoke creation into existence. He spoke it into creation. And He spoke it into being. I get kind of tickled at the scientists that, you know, it comes back. These are hundreds of thousands of years old. And then they come back. No, it's billions of years old. No, it's this. No, it's that. No, it was spoke into existence at the age God designed it to be spoke into. It's plain and simple. He speaks it into being. Now, that means that I've not seen Jesus Christ, you not, but I will tell you this, upon accepting Him, and even prior to that, with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I believe He is real. And then I begin to see things in my life where we commit it to Him, that He produces those good effects, that I have evidence there is a God. It wasn't by chance. I can take you through a list in my life. I can take you through a list of times that, quite frankly, I should not be here today, but yet I am by God's grace. And looking back, I can actually see how God intervened in those situations that allowed me to still be here. That's the evidence that we begin to see. And you go, there is no way that should have happened. Some of you know people that have been involved in accidents that with the police and everybody involved says there should be no survivor, and yet they walk away with just scratches. I've also seen those accidents that were not that bad. There shouldn't be any reason, but yet somebody died in it. It's not within our will, it's within His. Well, we've gone through the past few months. There is no doubt in that young lady's mind up there, nor in mine, nor should there be in yours, that God's hand was in this the whole way. I mean, we can take you through the chronological order, where they said it'd be 2 or 3 weeks before you get to see the doctor. We saw him in less than a week later. Everything clocked off. Just snapping and taking care of. And then it talks about here, about a heavenly hope. You see, you and I believe that by accepting Jesus Christ and trusting Him, our faith in Him, without doubt, tells you and I, and Alan gave testimony of this, He doesn't know what's going to happen in court later this week. There'll be a judgment. Doesn't know what that's going to be. But he also said it made him start thinking that there is another judgment, that because he believed in Jesus Christ, he has the assurance of what that outcome is going to be. He wrote a song about it called Mercy Walked In. How poetic that is. Because Christ will walk in on that judgment and say, no, Father, this one is mine, whom you have given me. Now, title was about faith and action. So we've defined what faith is. We know that these patriarchs, even though Jesus had not lived, in verse 13 that we read through 16, it says that they entered with Christ. They realized because of their faith they were strangers and pilgrims on earth, but yet they have a homeland that God has prepared for them. You and I have that same promise. We have that calmness, that assurance. When by our faith in the midst of toils and tribulations, you and I can still give praise. The book of Job, how most relevant that is, and losing everything. And there are modern day Jobs where you've seen folks lose everything because of tornadoes or accidents, car wrecks and all. They lose their entire family, but yet they can give praise and do give praise to God. When one of our loved ones pass away that we know evidence by how their faith was in action, we have no doubt we will see them again. Amen. Every single one of you have a loved one like that. And hopefully a whole bunch of them. There will be a great reunion. And you and I will see even the patriarchs of old. And most importantly, you and I will be able to sit at the feet of Jesus and look into his eyes and hear him speak, just as the disciples did. But this is about the action of it. So we have the faith. We believe. What then? Look in verse 6. I skipped over it on purpose up to this point. Verse 6 of chapter 11 in Hebrews says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, meaning the Lord. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Over and over, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, he prescribes that you and I are to seek him. Now, how do we seek him? How do we put that faith into action? You know, it's always good to want to be the winner, but you got to have a plan that is a winning plan to develop that of what you're going to do. Every season, we're a sports society. Every season, the coaches figure out what talent they have or don't have, and they write a new type of script based on what assets they do and taking up for those that they don't. But they have a plan at the beginning of the season. You just watch sports a little bit. Every coach will tell you, we're going to win this season. Some do, some don't. Well, most of those that don't is because they have that plan. Either it was flawed from the beginning or they're unable to adapt as the season progresses. Injuries happen. And they have to adapt that plan. You see, in the plan of life, God wrote a plan for each one of us. This homeland we talk about, it's always nice to return home. Realize, number one, you came from heaven. God is the giver of the Spirit of life. His Word tells us that He knew us even before we were in our mother's womb. These little young ones in here, young man over here, little gal over here. I like that one. Every time you talk to her, she just smiles. So if you got an Osiripus face, go back and see her before you leave. She'll brighten you up, okay? He will too. Only problem, you got to catch him. He's moving all the time. They do have a registrar to keep up with him if any of you would like to volunteer and get your exercise for the week. Am I right? Yeah, by the hour. Every single one of us came from heaven. nothing will you find in Scripture that talks about Satan creating human life. He's an imitator. Yes, he took angels with him when he fell from heaven or was cast out. But he didn't create them. God creates all life, human, animal. Explain to me how you can put a dead old seed in the ground, water it and fertilize it. It grows up and gives wonderful tomatoes. He created all life. Everything. We ooh and ah every time there is a birth. I don't care if it's a little baby or it's a brand new puppy or it's a calf. It's life. We celebrate it. We should cherish it. Our society today is the problem. We fail to remember the value of life. So you and I, going home, realizing that we're pilgrims, this world is not our home. And as the Scripture says, God has created a homeland for you and I, for all of these who've gone before us, and for you and I, and those who will come after us. That is going home. We fully recognize that. We realize there is no place like home. I have traveled all over this U.S. Stayed in a lot of hotels. There's good ones, there's bad ones. But I don't care. It ain't as good as home. My own bed, my own pillow, my own shower. Then we start getting down to the little thing. Yeah, I like this because it's mine. God has a home for us. And he created it just for us. Peter tells us that God did not create hell for any of his creation, but for those who will not accept his son, that is what hell is for. You have to have a ticket. That ticket's called Jesus Christ in order to go home to heaven forever. Notice he says, without faith it is impossible to please him. It also says that, you know, for he who comes to God must believe. And then it says that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seeking him tells me every day you and I are to be active. That's why I say it. It's not a passive deal. You come to church, you sit in a pew. Some come to seek and hear the word. Some come because that's what Sunday I'm supposed to do. Some come for who's singing. Some comes for the donuts. Maybe they will have sausage and biscuits. All sorts of different reasons. I even know some who join the right church so it increases their business. From every level, every form. Everybody has their own agenda of why they come to church. See, we don't have to come to church in order to serve God. We can serve Him out there in the pasture. The problem is we do that, and oftentimes what happens, because His Word tells us, that says, forsake not the gathering together of believers, of this unity of spirit, is because it's encouraging to one of us, to each and every one of us. That's why we take the time for prayer and pray. It's because we need to hear what God is doing in other lives. We need to be able to pray for one another as Jesus tells us to do. That's active. See, it's an active lifestyle to be a Christian. People you and I come in contact with every day should not have a doubt whether we have a faith in Jesus Christ. They should be able to see it in the evidence of Him living through us in a daily life. That's active. Now, how do we prepare for that action? I said, well, you know, I use the sports analogy. The coaches put together a game plan. Then they have to begin to train. And we realize that there are those who are created with more athletic abilities than others. And it doesn't matter if it's athletic abilities, singing abilities. BC's made the comment before. He said, I can't play the radio and make sure it's in tune, let alone sing. I understand. I can cook a few things, but I got news for you. I can't make some of the things you ladies and guys produce, okay? I enjoy eating them, but I'm not the chef. Every single one of us have talents that God has given us. And you say, well, I learned those from... Who put that person that taught you in your life? Everything comes from Him. So how do we prepare? We know that the sports teams goes out here and they start working out in the heat of summer to build that endurance and being ready to play, and then they continue to run the plays that the coaches have designed and so forth. Where is our coach? How do we know what plays he has done? Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Very familiar passage probably to most of you all. There is a lot to glean in 119 as well as in all of the scriptures that God has provided us. But in 119 and verse 105, the psalmist writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now when you and I, and I'm going to step back in time before Siri came about, when you and I planned a trip before the technology come along, you got the atlas or a map produced by the state or whatever, and you figured out your route. Okay? We had a map. That book before you is God's map for life. And then we had Siri come along, and we just punch in where we want to go, and she tells you where to go. I will tell you, it's man-made. You ever wonder why Siri's in a female voice, guys? The navigator, right? It's because those ladies have practice telling us where to go. What else should Siri be, right? But even with that, Siri is wrong sometimes. I've been to a place, you know, I'd been many times before, but I hit Siri just to make sure I took the one to get knowing the cutoff's coming up. But then Siri tells me to turn right left when I know that that building I'm looking for is on the right. But it kept telling me, turn left. And then she proceeds to tell me, make a U-turn, make a U-turn. And we laugh at that, but when we look at that from a spiritual context, that little deal right there, that is exactly what Satan does. We're following the path that God has. And then the devil creates a little bit of doubt. And I'll be honest, when they first said that, I'm thinking, does she know something I don't know? Have they moved? Have they, you know, businesses do move, and really, mate, and I'm looking at the time of when I have to be there, and I'm going, I ain't got time to go exploring. So I have a choice to make. I can go by way that I know, or I can go by the way I'm being told from an alternative source. That same question comes to you and I every day. The Holy Spirit says this is the way to go. And the devil wants to give us an alternate plan. He introduces that doubt. Our faith in action is stymied and often totally destroyed because of doubt. Therefore, he tells us to seek him. That way, when we seek him, because of going there before, there wasn't any doubt in my mind of where that building is at, because I've been to it before and traveled there. I made the decision to go where I knew it was the right thing to go or the right place to go. Sure enough, AAP office hadn't been moved. It was still right there. Afterwards, I trotted down the other way. Had a little time, meeting's over with. Thought, well, let's go see where she wanted me to go. It was a vacant pasture. And I thought to myself, isn't that the way the devil is? He leads us out to nothing. And that is how it works. And so you and I have to be diligent. It has been that way since the beginning. If we look into the book of Genesis, God told Adam and Eve, do not eat of the fruit of the tree of life. Yet what happened? Satan put a little twist in there and they put a doubt. Well, yeah, it does look good. And well, surely God didn't say you'd die. And mankind has suffered it ever since. God suffered it. Because God then had to send His Son to die a horrible death that you and I might be redeemed. There's wisdom by seeking and knowing His Word, reading the plan of what is there, knowing what is the right and the wrong way to go, knowing, and Jesus made that exact comment in Matthew. He said, my sheep know my voice. We learn it because we seek Him, and so we know what that familiar sound is. Look also at Psalms chapter 1. How do we know the path and the plan? Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Key note there. Concentrating and looking to Jesus Christ, listening to the Holy Spirit day and night. That means in everything. I am thankful we are a church that believes there is nothing we cannot bring and ask others for us to pray with. There is nothing we cannot take before God and pray to Him about. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too big. We kind of get the big side. We forget about the little. Oh, I got that handle. Yeah, let me know how that worked out. Because then suddenly it's a big deal that you're going, oh, Lord, I need your help. God's got a sense of humor. Really? Well, maybe you should have asked me first before you start tearing it apart. I remember that as a kid. I was inquisitive. My dad's very mechanically minded. I wanted to be like Daddy. So I was good at taking things apart. And then I'd go to put it back together and something would be missing. And I'd take him all in parts and hand it to him and go, Daddy, I need help. Boy, why didn't you come to me when you took it apart? So I could have seen what was there and we'd had all the pieces to put back together. And that's exactly what happens. We tear it apart thinking we can fix it and come to find out there's not a single thing we can do. You know, oftentimes we ask the whys of things that happen. And I'm convinced in every one of those circumstances that you and I have to endure, whatever it may be, God has a reason and a purpose. Now, as y'all know, the different lives I've had by trade and everything of my life, it's about fixing things. And part of that is our male DNA, right? We're there to fix it, guys. If our wife's upset, we want to fix it. The problem is that you and I can't fix everything. This deal we've gone through with this cancer thing is, you talk about feeling helpless. No matter what I want to do, it will not fix. the issue. So I will tell you, not only do we praise God for what He's done, I will tell you, I praise Him for re-emphasizing to me that if I seek Him and I ask Him, He will answer. You know, I identify so many times with Paul. I really do. I identify with Peter a lot too. But in Paul saying, I asked God to take this thorn away 3 different times, and God's answer was, my grace is sufficient. And so for me personally, this isn't just talking about faith over the past few months. It has been to live it. And I'll confess to you, it's not an easy thing to do. And some of you will be stand right there beside me and say, that's right. It's one thing to speak it and say it. It's another to live it. Every day. One trip at a time. And to realize and to commit to Him, Lord, I am helpless to do anything about this. I can rant and rave. Ain't going to change the outcome. I can wish all day long. Ain't going to change the outcome. So I have to walk in action by faith and trust. And as many of you know, because you've had to do it as well, this day and night meditating thing, yeah, it's day and night. It's talking with Him more than probably I believe I've ever talked to Him before on a daily basis throughout the day. I'm sorry she had to endure it to teach me. But she's been taught as well. Our son has been taught. I hope some of it has taught you as well. And you see, when you go through the hard times, God is using that not only to teach and show you, but others around us. So we have a choice in this. If we doubt that He's going to take care of it, and we do that. And I've talked about that before, that we come and we say, Lord, I commit this to You. And then we're sack draggers, right? We bring all of those worries and we drop that sack at His throne. And then when we pick up from there, we reach over and grab that sack, and away we go down our road, dragging that big old lumpy sack along with us. Instead of being able to, as Isaiah says, run like the deer, we plug along like the turtle because we got all that weight hung on us. For what purpose? Ain't nothing you can do about it. I know the English teacher would get all over me for that ain't, but it's true. There wasn't a single thing we could do to different about this. We've seen God's handiwork. But I believe without a doubt she hasn't had all those severe side effects because of prayers of us, of you. God said, when two or more here bind something, it will be in heaven. That's why we pray for one another. That's why we take time to talk about the blessings, but also the prayer needs. And you and I actively should never forget to say thank you. Back to verse 6 of our original text. The only way to please Him is through our obedience. God, we live in a society that believes we can do whatever we want to do. But you see, God is not this world. God says this obedience, and Jesus said that. He said, my yoke is not a burden. It's not heavy. It's not having to pull that big old sack behind you. The obedience is, I bring it before the Father, and I let it lie right there, and I meditate to remind me that I have given that to Him. Now, the old devil's going to want to throw all the doubts he can in there. What I've also learned out of this, if my faith is really that strong, I ought to be willing to go to that leap to tell you from the very outset, this is a nothing deal. God's got it. Very strong lesson learned. For you see, when you and I make that proclamation to others, and we live by that, and we meditate on that, and bring it back to Him saying, God, I know You've got it. You're going to show Your glory through this thing. That is the one person that I can rely will be faithful every single time. And if it's not His will, whatever His will is, will be perfected. One of the first times I remember that, there's a lady who used to be a member of our church. She's gone to glory now. But she wrote with her cancer, if God heals me, I give Him glory for the miracle. If He takes me home, I give Him glory because I'm home. The bottom line she put, I win either way. That's faith in action. So where do you place your faith? Do you place it in Him? Or do you place it in the things of this world or in yourself? We got them young babies here. Mom and Dad, how do you rear them? In faith or by what you or I think best? Got to be by faith. And that's how we have to live our lives, folks. Why He tells us to teach our youth. Our world today shows that we have not done a good job because our young people don't know what the foundation of truth is. That's the foundation of truth. Every single bit of it, every word, from cover to cover, there is nothing new in God's world. Nothing. All the circumstances may have changed. You know, we're up to the point of riding in electric vehicles instead of chariots, but it's still the same thing. It's a mode of travel. Sometimes we think we've gotten so smart. You know what? Going back to the old ways are still part of the best. It never ceases to amaze me. When the power goes out, everybody goes, well, I can't do nothing. Well, get out your Big Chief tablet and number 2 pencil. And you can figure this puppy out. Y'all ever ask for people to count change back to you in the store today? You want to have fun sometimes? Just ask that clerk, how do you know that's right? Well, because that's what the register says. Well, that's provided you punched in the right buttons. How do you know it's right? The answer's in your life. Real simple. Do they match up to the book? If it doesn't match up to the book,